This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camo X 204. Rachel just saying on the break that she's buying some new skincare products. It reminds me of about 10 years or so ago. I would have been 50, and I started noticing wrinkles around my eyes like everyone who's 50 gets. And so I researched and purchased what I thought was an expensive eye cream, just an eye cream. And so every day for about a week, I would very carefully put this on like my raccoon area, you know, just like right around my eyes, like if I were wearing a sleep mask. And after a couple of days, it started kind of turning red. And I'm like, well, you know, retinol, it's going to just gotta tear it down before you heal it back up. And after a week, it was really red and really scaly. And Maureen looked at the bottle and it was soap. I was just putting soap on my eyes and not rinsing it off. That was solid.
That'll do it.
That did it. Yeah. But look at me now.
It worked.
Right?
You're looking good.
Don't look a day over 67. Fine. This thing in my show prep today, it said a recent poll asked people, what is the most refreshing thing to drink cold liquid out of?
Ooh.
And so I did this, and you guys can take shots at it or give me yours. Milk glass. Cold milk should be drunk out of glass.
There's no other way to drink milk.
Unless out of the carton.
Unless you have a little carton from school.
Agreed. Beer, I'm a fan of the bottle.
Same.
I like a very, very cold, literally the beer is starting to ice up right out of the bottle. I'll drink it out of a glass, it's fine, but I'm a bottle guy. Soda, there's only one real way to drink the best soda, and that's out of one of those hard red plastic Pizza Hut cups. You know what I'm talking about? Those old vintage kind of things.
I will take any plastic cup for pizza, or for pizza. More soda, really, right? Because you get just enough. The acid kind of dissolves the microplastics just enough to add that extra little bite in there.
Put a little wang in it.
Oh, yeah.
And good then when I was a kid, we had one of those classic multicolored metal pitcher and glass things where you could taste the metal every drink you took.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like drinking lemonade out of that was just the best.
We had cups like metal cups like that, and the paint was like chipping off.
Yes.
And you could taste it when you were drinking it. And even as a child, I didn't understand any of that, but I was like, I feel like this isn't good.
The lead paint is chipping off in your mouth.
Yeah. Wheels, you agree? Agree or disagree with any of those?
I'm torn because
don't want to get into an Amy fight with you here.
No,
about this.
The best water to me is out of like the Yeti type things. Which back in the day would have been just a thermos.
Yeah.
You know, like, but like out of those things, cold water is just unreal. Like so good, and it stays cold that way. I'll take the soft drinks though, and anything that just where I can put ice in it. I don't really. It can be a Yeti, can be a plastic cup, can be a glass. Like, you know, we used to do this, and I'm too lazy to do it now, but we would put frozen mugs in our, put them in our freezer, and you pull them out, and you would fill those with your drink. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
but
pretty,
it's a lot of, it's
I'm
a lot
doing
of,
that, too.
Yeah. It's not just for root beer, let me tell you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't done it, too, pretty solid. Pretty solid.
Razor's Edge?
Yes. Okay, let's talk about technology, because it is the Razor's Edge, after all. Let's see. The first thing I want to talk about is, so this artificial intelligence company created a collar, an AI collar for your dog that supposedly lets your dog talk to you.
I don't want that.
I would, but
that's,
I don't believe
that's
it.
That's the whole reason we like dogs.
Well, here's the part about it that's BS. It's not actually like reading your dog's mind because we don't have that kind of technology. Right. What you can do is you can select from 25 different personas.
Oh.
And then that speaks as your dog.
For the love. That's like what Elon Musk just did.
Yeah.
Where he had his amazing robots talking to humans, and then it came out that they were all being controlled by humans.
Yeah.
This guy.
Have you guys seen the dog buttons? What do you think about those?
What's a dog button?
Oh, where they can push a button to tell you a word.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of buttons on the ground, and you and these people have trained their dogs.
They seem to understand those.
Hit the button that says like ball, play ball, or whatever. But then they say that they can. Like I just saw one of them the other day that claimed that, like it was worried about the She's like, my dog's so worried about the hurricane. My dog pressed the buttons that said like tide. Come wash me away or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, your dog is not.
You see the ones where they're like, they know, they'll hit the one that says their name and then, you know, Booster is sad. You know, like those kind of things. Like, I don't know if I buy that, but they can definitely associate words with things. I mean, my dogs do.
Yeah. Lucy knows is a cat, but when I'm like, are you hungry? Like she completely, her demeanor completely changes.
I've always heard the smartest dogs, which tend to be like poodles and shepherds, those have the equivalent brain of like a 3 or a 4 year old human. So they do have.
They can understand as many words as.
They do have the ability to understand some words.
I had a thought along these lines just this morning. I live on a tree lined street, lots of acorns, which means lots of squirrels. And they are out there doing their business, right?
Getting ready.
Putting them in the bank. And as oftentimes happen, you're rolling down the street and squirrel's on the side and he sees an acorn in the middle of the street. And I don't know what goes through their little squirrel heads. Then they just take off and they run right in front of you and then they scamper, scamper, scamper and they run the other way. And I was thinking to myself, since it's a squirrel, it probably doesn't do this once in its life. Like if I did that once, I would be traumatized. If I ran down the middle of the street and tried to grab a bologna sandwich and dodge your car and you almost hit me, I would be traumatized. But is this just like an everyday thing for squirrels?
Well, I mean, I guess the way that I would, if I'm trying to get around it, literally everything scares them. They are constantly.
So they live in a constant state
terrified. No. Yeah. So, like, that's just the way they are. So, to them, that's normal.
You know what drives you?
And I'm just guessing at this point. I don't know if that's true.
I know. Like, none of us are like squirrel scientists.
But they're never calm. You ever see a calm squirrel? They're always like, what? Oh, shoot, dog.
Just someone eating my pumpkin.
You know what drives me crazy about them? Whenever they run out in the middle of the street and then they're like, oh my gosh, a car. And then they just like sit there. And then they like fake you out and then run back the way they came. Like, just finish crossing the street. You're wasting everybody's time. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you now.
You're in control of this, not me in the giant metal box.
The thing about the dog buttons, back to the dog buttons, that freaks me out is when those first came out, people were posting TikToks about it.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, this is so sad. We had the pet cam on, and as soon as I walked out the door, the dog kept hitting the button that said mommy over and over again. And I'm going, I don't need to know this.
Don't need
like,
that.
I would just be curled up in a ball crying all the time if Lucy could.
Like my dog's a big baby. Go lay down.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Okay, the other thing technology-wise I want to talk about is this new smartphone.
I gotta say, Kevin is like a supervillain suddenly.
I love my dog.
He's just relishing like, oh, really, Rachel?
Listen,
I would just say to my cat, you're stupid.
I love my dogs, but if they were going to whine every time I left, I'd be like, you know, grow up.
How about you get
grow
a job?
Dogs.
I'm sick of taking care of you.
You got all you got to do is sleep. Just relax.
Next thing I want to talk about in the technology category is a smartphone blanket from Japan. This blew up a couple years ago and is making its way to the United States. So it's a very big, cozy, fluffy blanket that has armhole. It's kind of like a Snuggie, but it's built specifically. I think it has weights in it, too. So it's a nice weighted blanket with armholes. So you can just rot on your couch with your arms free and be on your phone all the time.
Hmm.
Interested?
What's the phone connection?
The sleeves so you can hold your phone. So your arms stay warm.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm interested in anything cozy. I like I just told you, I have my 10th heating pad in the last 2 years because I use them every single night during the summer as well. 100 degrees. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I had another one delivered today by Amazon. God, Amazon. Crazy.
I was just looking at it for all my skincare stuff.
I shop for it
earlier.
At 10 a.m. and it'll be delivered by 6. It's nuts.
It's nice. I mean, it's very evil and exploits a lot of people, but man, that overnight delivery kind of can't beat it.
My butt will be warm.
Kind of can't beat it.
Do you guys have anything like that you just go through? Like, oh man, I go through these like crazy.
Good question. Gosh. I don't know.
So 24,000 hours on the air does for you, Rach. Come up with those kind of questions.
Used to be batteries, but now we have rechargeables. That's great.
I don't know what I'm going through nonstop.
Like I go through way too many blankets.
Blankets?
Yeah.
How do they get
so
worn
out?
What do you think? My boy.
They get holes?
Easy, brother.
I'm just like, how does a blanket wear out?
You use it too much.
So it like pieces are falling off or it's coming apart. Okay.
See, you're picturing someone who would like wash it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a problem.
That would be Susan.
I have to get rid of the blankets because they're too stinky.
I'm too lazy. I'm not going to lie.
Disposable blankets.
If it was me on my own, I'd probably never wash a blanket.
I have a brown fleece blanket that I bought from Sears in 2011. I bought it for my mom, and I went through like a tear there where I was buying blankets for my mom, and then I would just keep them because I still lived at home, and I'd be like, this is a nice blanket, and I just appropriated it for myself. I still have it. I will never get rid of that thing. I'm so emotionally attached to it. I don't know, like, I couldn't explain why, but it's never leaving my side.
I would go to Soft Surroundings every holiday season because there's, you know, multiple people to buy things that are appropriate for that store, and I would always buy way more for me.
Huh.
That's fair enough.
More of a thin blanket kind of dude.
Mm.
I like the thin blanket.
Big and furry.
Mm.
I do that too, Dave. Whenever I'm shopping for Christmas and stuff, I do end up buying things for myself as I'm buying things for my loved ones. Do you think that makes me a bad person?
Nope.
Yep.
That makes you.
The studio is split. Okay.
Just killing two birds with one stone.
Because I do it too and I'm a bad person.
No, it doesn't make you a bad person.
Yeah, I bought Nick Prada cologne for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was $70. And it was $170.
Ooh.
But by the time I got up there and I was checking out and the crowd was behind me, I couldn't put it back. So I'm like, fine, he'll just get some really nice cologne. But I wanted it so bad because it smelled so good. And then on Christmas morning, he goes, Dad, I'm not a big cologne guy. Why don't you just take it? I'm like, what? I mean,
you sure?
Okay.
I'll send you a gift card.
I'm going to spray my blankets with this stuff.
They need it. Okay, one more story here. This isn't necessarily technology, although I guess you could say that the Pringles can is a chip technology that we've been taking advantage of for many, many years now. Well, Pringles has revealed that their new chips don't come in a can. This is the brand's first ever bagged snack in more than 15 years. They're called Pringles Mingles. They're air puffed and come in a bag. And they look like little bow ties meant to melt in your mouth, crispy on the outside and light and airy on the inside.
Okay, this could be a whole discussion because we're all creatives here. We're all in the creative industry. And there is an argument that you constantly have to be evolving. Whatever the DGS did in 2010, it can't do in 2024. It's not enough. You have to keep evolving and constantly changing. Then you have people like me that I don't ever want to see Pringles in anything but the Pringles can.
Thank you.
No, it's fine.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But Pringles, they're not taking away one; they're adding to it, so they'll still exist.
Yeah, I know, but it's just not the same thing.
Okay. Pringles are already, in my humble opinion, an F tier chip. They are the bottom.
We're familiar with your stance on Pringles, Senator.
And with Pringles, but
the only good thing is they come in a can.
The only redeeming quality.
Oh no, you can make duck bill.
And then you cut out the bottom of the can, and you put treats in the bottom, and you put it over your phone's camera, and then your cat tries to get it with their little paw and you can film it and it's very cute. That's what Pringles
are for.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
Who hasn't been there?
The universal experience.
We've all done it, okay? I mean, we all know that's
what
Pringles
are for. You're about to get wheelered real bad.
Yeah. I invited. Garbage ship.
Wheeler's going, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Garbage ship.
Can't punch down. 223 DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday. So I was at Bethesda today, and I met my very first patient for my hospice volunteering. Not the NOTA. That's when people, the death is impending. We sit vigil with them over the last couple of days at night. But this is people who are in the hospice program, but their death is not impending. They're just living their lives, and we volunteer to meet with them and spend time with them and talk with them and read to them and all this kind of stuff. And so I met my lady today. Her name's Jackie. Really sweet and communicative, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
He's spending Thursdays with
Good
Jackie.
Times.
Yeah. Really nice. Really nice.
Mm-hmm. Benefits everybody involved.
And she loves having her hair brushed. She found the right man.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're pretty good at that.
Pretty good. Yep. Pretty good back scratcher too, aren't I?
You are. Yeah. That was so helpful.
Maybe she'll need that.
I was over here like a turtle upside down. You know, you can't turn over.
You didn't fight it.
No, you know, as soon as you started, I'm like, ah, man, that's great.
So you went to a public hearing last night.
I did. I went to the Library Board of Trustees meeting in St. Charles County last night because my wife works at the libraries there. And part of the agenda last night was approving a new pay scale for the employees. And a lot of the employees were there speaking. And I was asked by a friend of ours to read her statement because she couldn't be there because she was working at one of the branches last night. And those meetings have to be tedious and terrible for the people running them. They just have to be because everything has got to go in a form. But I won't name any names, but I'm going to say it this way. There are people that are making decisions that impact other people's livelihoods, and they don't do their homework before they show up at a board meeting. You should understand the situation and the plan that's been put before you before you're standing there waiting to vote and asking dumb questions to everybody else.
You mean people on the board?
People on the board. Now, most of the board was on it. Most of them knew everything inside and out. I know there are a couple that are new. And, you know, if you're new, maybe ask some questions before the meeting. Maybe talk to your fellow board members. Because going through and hashing it out in that moment, because to understand this, I'm not going to get into all the details. But to understand that this is something that got started more than 2 years ago. Right? They did a study of the people's pay and benefits compared to other library districts of the same size all around the country. And an outside consultant said, yeah, you probably need to raise everybody up to this. This is our recommendation. Well, they had decided to follow that recommendation like 2 years ago. And the study started 2 years ago. But for months, all of this has been getting put off because they wouldn't have enough people there. That's why I was bugging Steve Ellman yesterday. I'm like, are they going to have enough people there to vote on this tonight? Because that's been a problem for months. And then you get there after this has been put off for months, and you're like, well, I don't know. I fully understand this. Why not? You chose to accept the position. You should know what you're doing before you're coming in to vote rather than being like, well, maybe I don't understand this. And then one guy's like, well, maybe we need to put it off another month. And everybody's like, no, we shouldn't. We've been talking about this. So there are a lot of people that were buttoned up, and I give them a lot of credit for keeping it moving and explaining to these guys, which I know had to be frustrating because there were two dudes there. I don't know how new they were, but I don't feel like they did their homework. So if you're in one of those positions, thank you, by the way, because those are not like high paid appointments. Those are not things that you're being compensated for. There's no real big benefit to you. You're doing something, but also be prepared when you show up for a meeting.
Did you read the statement?
I did. Yeah, of course.
Did people recognize your voice?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, you know, like people that knew us.
No one yelled, let's go or anything like that?
No, I thought about ending it that way, but I thought it's probably a bit too much. Let's go. Do it.
I did one of those when they were trying to build apartment buildings in our neighborhood, and Maureen was really against it, and she was fighting it, and they had a one of these things, and I showed up to give my 2 cents, and people knew who I was. I was going to be there, blah, blah, blah. And I gave, like, a pretty good impassioned speech, and Phoebe was outside waiting for me in the playground, so I wanted to get out there. And when I left, I thought the door was really heavy, And so I hit it pretty hard, and it was really thin.
And it went flying.
It went flying, and everyone's like, yeah!
He did it! Look at him!
Yes! Normal
laying
Ray!
Laying it down. Laying it down.
Like, it was completely unintended.
Now, yeah. If anybody needs me, I'll be in the playground.
You want some, I'll be out there.
I'll be on the seesaw with my daughter!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Celebrating our 24th year. We started October 16th of 2000, so 6,000 shows, 24,000 hours, and I'm no better than I was the day I started. So
that's a lie.
Shoot that whole thing to hell. 10,000 hours, my butt. Andy Hahn is here. He's the director of the Campbell House Museum, the author of Mapping St. Louis, which I was reading yesterday. I really enjoy this book. Catherine Kozimchek, who is with the Mourning Society of St. Louis, which I didn't know before, but I love everything about it. Going to talk all about this stuff. So welcome, guys. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Andy, tell us about the Campbell House. Like, we could probably see it from here if these trees weren't here, and we walk past it all the time, and it's intriguing and beautiful, but I don't know what it is.
Well, it's the last of its kind. It is a old row house at the corner of 15th and Locust Streets in downtown St. Louis. It was built in 1851, and for almost 90 years, it was the home of Robert, Virginia Campbell, and their 3 children.
And we're open. What was their claim to fame?
Robert Campbell is an Irish immigrant. He's a fur trader and an explorer. He helped blaze parts of the Oregon Trail. He was one of the founders of Kansas City. In early St. Louis, he was a big deal.
Very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. And the idea for Mapping St. Louis?
Well, partially came out of my job. So at the Campbell House, you know, part of our interpretation, we use a lot of historic documents, of primary sources, including maps.
And I love maps, and I had gathered all these maps digitally, and I thought, wouldn't that be a cool book?
Yeah.
And I went to a publisher, and he said, yeah, that would be a cool
book. That's very cool. I've always been obsessed with this kind of thing since I was a kid. I grew up over on the east side, about 10 miles north of Cahokia Mounds, but and there's a big 100-acre farm field in front of my house. And so every year when they would plow, we would go out there, and every year we would find a couple dozen arrowheads and pounding stones and things like that. And I would just sit there and try to imagine what was right where my house was. And I'm still intrigued by that. And I was looking through Andy's book, and it's like, what was right where we are right now? What was here? And there's so many fascinating things about it. Like, even the topography, like the Shodo Pond.
Yeah.
What was that?
So it was created for a mill. So when French-speaking colonists first came here in 1764, they dammed up a little creek. To create a pond, to create more water flow. And that pond powered a mill, the water flow from the pond powered a mill to grind corn or wheat for bread. And it became, it was originally just part of the landscape as something that was needed to power the mill, but it became a beautiful recreation spot in St. Louis. People would swim in it and boat and fish and row. And eventually it became a sewer, essentially, as the city grew up around it. But you talked about topography. It's essentially still there. It stretched from like Ralston Purina to the Busch Stadium, kind of in that stretch, where there's kind of sunk in there downtown, just south of the stadium. So that's where the pond was.
Cool. Yeah. We could do a whole show on what was the height of St. Louis. Was it the 18-somethings? Was it the 1950s? Was it whatever? For you, doing a book like this, if you could travel back to a time and walk the streets, what would you pick?
I would pick the steamboat era, the 1850s. That is a time when I think St. Louis was most exciting in terms of its growth. The boats were bringing people from all over the world here, and the city was growing really rapidly. And I think it would be really exciting to stand down on the levee where the arch is today and look both ways up and down the river and boats as far as you could see.
And probably not. Now when you do that, you're going to see a lot of bombed out buildings and things like that. But you have to remind yourself that there was a time when there were none.
Right.
Like everything, and like where the Limp Mansion is, I mean, that was just tall cotton, I mean, people living on the bluffs there and overlooking the river just for rich people. And how, like Grant's Farm, it took them a couple days in a wagon to get there back in the day.
Not a half an hour drive down Gravois today,
exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. So Catherine, tell us about the Morning Society of St. Louis.
We are a group of reenactors who is interested in the clothing, of course, from the 19th century and the culture. I think we gravitated toward mourning, I think because it's a topic people can relate to today because everyone experiences death, but also it's something people are really interested in. So if you're going to have an event, you want it to be something that's a draw.
So what do you guys do?
We host a lot of events at historic sites around St. Louis where we talk about the culture around mourning, specifically starting in the 1860s after the Civil War and stretching all the way up to 1910 around then. We dress in period clothing. We give presentations. We reenact a funeral at one event. At the Campbell House, we'll be talking about different mourning practices that you would observe at home and what would happen in the home when someone passed away at home, since most people died at home in that era.
Yeah, I used to live on Forsyth back 20 years ago in Clayton, and there was an old lady who lived across the street from me who lived on her own, so I was trying to be a nice guy, and I'd go over and I would sit with her and talk, and we're sitting there one night, and I'm real spooky. I get spooked easy, and it was just me living there at the time, and she said, "Oh, they laid them all out right there in your living room." And I'm like, "I'm sorry. Say that again." She's like, three spinsters, never married, and they all died within a couple years of each other, and they laid them all out right there where your window is. I was like, "I'm going to kill you with a shovel."
Dave's like, "Oh, no."
But yeah, that's the way they did it, right?
Yeah, for a long time, funerals and what we consider like the wake today would be more of a private affair in the home. What we think of as a funeral parlor didn't really start until the 1920s.
Yeah.
When they moved it out of the house and into like a, I don't know, I think it was part of the 20th century movement of separating ourselves from death. I think they experienced it more than we do, but also just they were more close to it because it was at home.
Yeah, and I think embalming started somewhere near the end of the Civil War, but wasn't prevalent until, you know, decades later. But I'm sure, you know, like putting them on ice and things like that, you know, keeping them on an ice block or...
They had cooling tables.
Yeah, so different and just such a different view of it. And I guess we were more familiar with death. You know, people would have 8 kids and lose 3 of them. I mean, that's just the sad fact of life, Wheels, as you talk about how difficult those times were.
Yeah. I mean, I joke with these guys when we talk about how this must be the hardest time ever to raise kids. I'm like, I think a couple hundred years ago, it's probably a little tougher. Yeah. I think it was a little tougher in the day.
The Campbells had 13 and they lost 10.
Wow.
So to bury 10 little ones.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes it was just a little baby, but sometimes they were 4 and 7 years old.
And you wonder, I mean, of course they loved their kids, but I can't imagine that. I can't imagine losing one, much less going through 10. I think I would just stop having them.
I think there's something in your brain that would make you prepared for it a little bit, distance yourself from your kid.
Different circumstance, right?
Yeah, yeah, and be prepared to know that any day could be its last, because when these kids died in the past... you know, it was a sickness that usually took them within a week. It was usually pretty quick. It wasn't like a long, drawn out, lingering type of death.
To bring it up to today, my mom passed away a couple months ago, which we talked a lot about on the show, and she was 96. And when the funeral home guy got there, he said, so you don't want a viewing? And we said, no, she didn't want a viewing. And he said, well, then most people don't embalm. It's just natural. We'll fix her up. We'll put her in her outfit and we'll put her there. And that's the way nature intended. And I was so conflicted because I come from an embalming family, right? I mean, it's like, that's the kind of, you go to Mark's Mortuary in Wood River and you sit on the blue velvet couch and that's, you know, that's the family, but we didn't. And I'm still struggling with it. Like, it's been 2 months, deeds done, but I'm still struggling with it, which just goes to show how important funerary services are and the choices we make and the societal norms that we have.
Absolutely.
Different rituals.
Yeah, different rituals.
And they had different ones in the 19th century.
Yeah.
You know, dying at home was just a fact of life. People didn't, there were no nursing homes. There, you know, there were hospitals, but, you know, generally if you were going to die, it was clear they would send you home.
Right.
They would send you home to die.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't go to the hospital. You go home from the hospital.
Yeah, and so that's what at the event Mourning Society is going to do. They're going to talk about all those, you know, aspects of dying at home. What do you do when someone dies at home?
Yeah. Tell us about the event that you guys have coming up.
Every room of the house is going to have a reenactor in the room, and they're going to be talking about different aspects of dying at home, mourning practices, how people dressed, superstitions about death in the 19th century. We do have a room where we'll be talking about medical treatments, which at home was mostly more like hospice care, like what we would see today. Mm-hmm. And then how they would treat the body after the person died at home, because you did not have... You sometimes would have an undertaker come in for later parts of the service, but the initial treatment of the body was usually done by servants in the home or just women that were in the family.
Yeah. So it's coming up on October 25th, which is Friday, correct?
That's correct. A week from Friday, October 25th, between starting at 6 to 8 p.m. And you buy a ticket for a time slot, and a docent guides you through the house and introduces you to a member of the Mourning Society who's going to talk about a different aspect. And the first one is in the parlor where we've recreated Robert Campbell's funeral and wake. He died on October 16th in 1879, so his death fits in perfectly with this Halloween season. And so that's kind of how the event starts. So you walk in, a coffin is there in the room, all the mirrors are draped in black. It's pretty dramatic.
That's great. How do you get tickets for this and how do you get the book?
The book, you can buy at any bookstore online. You can come down to the Campbell House and buy it. I even saw it in Schnucks last night, so it should be out and about. The tickets for the event, you can either get by going to our website, campbellhousemuseum.org, and clicking on the events tab, or you can call us. And you can just Google our phone number, and we'd be happy to do it over the phone as well.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
$250 DGS. Oh, this is kind of cool. We've had several people from the DGS join me in volunteering for hospice for Bethesda. And you know who else did? Our death doula.
Oh, nice.
Lauren.
Yeah.
That's
isn't that
so
great?
Cool. That's so awesome.
Boy, talk about a ringer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah,
right? Somebody's got it nailed.
Yeah, I think she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
She was on the Rachel Zimmerman show a couple months ago. She's just like an awesome person and really cool to talk to and hang out with. So that's awesome.
I thought that was very cool.
A real treasure.
They're showing me pictures of her and they're like, yeah, she's a I'm like, I'm tell me.
I know her.
I know. Like, we're like simpatico. We're besties. Yeah, I would love to do like a tandem vigil with her because you would learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Z snacks are a status symbol.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more of a thing, like more so than travel or clothing, you know, the typical things that people like to blow money on. Gen Z likes to go to high-end stores like Whole Foods and above, places like Erewhon in Los Angeles, if you've ever heard of this grocery store. And they like to spend tons of money on smoothies and, you know, nuts and different kinds of snacks and post about it on social media. It's just the newest status symbol.
What a strange thing.
It's weird to see the thing play out that you always thought was stupid, which is
everything.
No, like every older generation thinks younger generations are weird and stupid. And that's because to us, they are. And we're old and stupid to them. But it's just funny being on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because when you're on the young side of it, you don't really think anything of it. You don't think about it very much. It's we like what we like. We do what we do. And those olds need to get over it.
Yeah, I was watching some like Instagram reel or something of people discussing like the slang that Gen Z uses, and they were saying like millennials did not have this much slang.
Oh my god!
I'm like, I don't know. I feel like we did. It wasn't as ubiquitous because we didn't have the internet the way Gen Z has the internet, where it's like everyone's chatting online all the time, so everyone knows everything about each other.
Well,
we had plenty of stupid slang.
The adults in your life didn't care.
Yes, that's the other thing.
We're all, you know, clutching our pearls like, what does Riz mean? Like, our parents couldn't have cared less what words we're using.
People back in, like, when Rachel and I were kids, people, and, I mean, you guys too, when you were, like, 30, you didn't have to hear the opinions of 14-year-olds all the time.
No, that's true.
A
that's
lot of
correct.
Time when I'm looking at Twitter, when I see an account and they say something really stupid that upsets me, I have to like step back and remind myself there's a very good chance this person is like 15 years old.
Yeah.
They don't know anything.
Yeah.
If you had the ability to spout off whatever opinions you wanted to a giant, potentially national audience when you were 15 years old, you would have done it then too, and you would have looked like an idiot.
Yep. And the funny thing is like the slang that we used, our parents didn't, they never heard it unless we happened to accidentally slip up and use it around them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I remember, Dave, I don't remember exactly what the slang differences is between our two groups because you're just a little bit before me. But like, remember explaining to people or parents going, wait, so now bad means good? Like when you say that's bad or that's badass, that means good. Like that was a thing at a time where people had to explain that.
Yeah.
If I can call out the millennials, particularly millennial women, of which I am one of those.
Get them.
I think we have a real issue with like Gen Z and Gen Alpha. It's like, well, we're the young ones. We're the cute ones. We're not willing to give up like our status as the youngest people around, the coolest, the hippest. And it's like, no, we're aging. We're getting older. We're becoming the less cool people. It's supposed to happen like that. But I get on TikTok and I see all the time people having like a really hard time letting it go. Or they'll like, I'm going to plant my flag and make a stand for the millennials. We will not be doing this. It's like, do you think Gen Z cares that you're making? They don't care what you're doing. Just carry on with your life. Stop trying to, like, I don't know. This is just the way time moves and the way life moves. It's supposed to be like this. Stop resisting so much. It's not a huge deal.
Do you think that it alternates a little bit? Because, like, boomers seem to care a lot about what other generations do. Millennials seem to care. I'm sorry, Gen X seems to care less. You're describing it like millennials care more.
Boomers and millennials are both huge generations, and I'm wondering if we both have main character syndrome where we feel like the world revolves around us and we're like, like we are the protagonists of reality. Yeah. And it's like a rude wake-up call when we realize that's not true.
Mm-hmm. No one made me feel old at all, ever. I didn't feel old until I was probably 40. But there was no generation beneath me. Like, you're old. You're irrelevant. Now it's a thing. Now it's more aggressive.
It's the social media element of it. Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to deal with what you did. I wasn't 33 thinking, like, oh, I'm no longer relevant. Well, I thought, these punks.
Which is why you should just go, like, okay, like, it's fine that they feel that way. It's normal. It's nothing personal. It's normal for them to think that I'm old, because compared to them, I am old. Yeah. So it's all good, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.